listening to CMDA Matters, the weekly podcast of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. Here's your host, Dr. Mike Chubb.
Welcome, friends, to CMDA Matters, where we explore the issues that matter most to Christian healthcare professionals. Whether you're in healthcare, married, or otherwise related to a healthcare professional, or you're simply interested in how God is working through Christ followers in patient care and beyond, we're so glad you're here. With just days remaining in CMDA's fiscal year, we're prayerfully working toward our $900,000 goal by June 30th. As we reflect on the impact of your generosity this past year and the lives still waiting to be reached, we're deeply grateful. Because of you, healthcare professionals in every specialty are being educated, equipped, and encouraged to bring the hope and healing of Christ to patients and communities around the world. If you've been considering a gift, well, now is the time. Your support today helps us finish strong and step boldly into a new year of ministry and mission to glorify God. If you've benefited from podcasts like this one, enjoyed other CMDA resources, conferences, traveled on mission with GHO or MEI, appreciated the work of CMDA's advocacy ministry, or perhaps for you, it was how you were challenged to grow in your faith and nurtured by a community of Christian healthcare professionals during your training years, now is your opportunity to provide your support so this important work can continue. By the time this week's podcast is released, we're only going to have 4 days left to claim the rest of the $640,000 matching gift, dollar for dollar. We've already received an incredible $472,585. So we just need a little over $167,000 to claim all of the matching gift. If you've had good giving intentions to help your CMDA claim all of this matching gift, now is the time to act. You can visit cmda.org/give or just give us a call at 888-230-2637. We look forward to sharing with you the final results of this year-end giving campaign in the weeks ahead. This week, we're bringing you a powerful collection of voices in healthcare, which we heard from the Colson Fellows Program, a diverse and courageous community that includes everyone from corporate CEOs and pastors to ministry leaders and homeschool moms. For this episode, we spoke specifically with fellows who are Christian healthcare professionals across the nation, and one spouse of a healthcare professional. They were all attending the Colson Center National Conference in Louisville, Kentucky at the end of May. We found that several of these fellows are living out their faith in some of today's most challenging medical and cultural spaces. From gender ideology and end-of-life care to advocacy for the unborn, the elderly, the disabled, and the spiritually poor, these men and women are faithfully applying a biblical worldview in their practices and communities, and all are pursuing God's glory in every arena of life for the good of the world around them. You're going to hear their responses of bold compassion, cultural courage, and deep unity in Christ as these fellows answered two basic questions posed directly by me or by our CMDA Vice President of Advocacy and Bioethics, Dr. Brick Lance. The first question that we posed to these attendees: why is unity among Christ followers in healthcare so vital in our country at this time? And then for the second question and part two of this program, you're going to hear from these healthcare professionals their answer to our query: what current issue dealing with advocacy for the vulnerable in the healthcare public square are you most passionate about? Whether you're on the front lines of patient care or you're supporting others who are, I believe that this episode and the diverse perspectives of the Christian community on unity and advocacy, they're going to inspire you to speak truth with humility and to serve with steadfast hope. So let's dive in.
in healthcare, since we're all in healthcare, why is unity so necessary for those that follow Christ within healthcare? Why is it necessary? What's the benefit of unity?
I think if we stick to basic truth and start there and remind them of their science, I think that's going to start hopefully with unity. But yeah, that's a tough one with the different directions people are going.
You know, the body has many members and it's one unit. Mm-hmm. And I feel like medicine functions that way too. We all interact together. We're all systems. And when they're functioning in the right way together, keeping in mind the scripture, I feel like that will drive unity.
Unity is such an important part of how we minister effectively. I've been overjoyed to see the growing relationship between Focus on the Family, CMDA, the Colson Fellows. We're all trying to do the same thing. So why not work together? Because I think we'll be much more effective. As the scripture says, the cord of three is not easily broken. And hey, we got three.
I think it's important that we need to continue to remember that we are one body, not just as believers, but as different physicians, doctors, nurses, because everyone has a different role. So like if I'm the foot and you're the hand, they're both equally important. We can't just be a bunch of feet walking around. But yeah, no, we need to recognize that it's all important and it's all involved and not just say, this is my domain and that's your domain and they don't cross.
Right now, I think that a lot of physicians and a lot of medical professionals in general are feeling really isolated, particularly Christians. Yeah. We feel like we are being marginalized and we don't have the resources to stand for truth. And I think that things like CMDA and Colson Fellows can work together to come up with some of those ways to stand for truth together.
So the church has got to be made up of individuals who know and love and express the authentic Lord Jesus. And so as we do that in our practices, we are basically being the church within our practices, which means that we're unabashed about what we do and we are serving as unto the Lord in everything that we do in medicine.
Christ is the answer to what it means to be human. And especially in this day and age when there's technologies and philosophies that question what it means to be human, we have the answer as a church. And regardless of denomination, we can point to Jesus. And as medical professionals, we see people that are most broken, battling physical and mental illness. We can bring that answer and that hope to them through prayer, through ministry, being the hands and feet of Jesus.
Unity is important, I think, because it's a way of joining forces. Jack and I were just chatting on the way here to the convention center that there's a lot of duplication, and I worry that some things get diluted out or there's too many people doing the same thing. And if we were more unified and we came together and we worked together, we could just make things better and maybe a little less waste.
Well, I would say, you know, in healthcare, oftentimes we feel like we're islands when it comes to, and by meaning by ourselves and isolated when it comes to facing significant decisions. And we more and more are coming across decisions in healthcare where we feel that we're really at odds with the culture and both of the hospital and the general culture. And I personally had to refuse to involvement in two surgeries that had to do with gender transition or sort of genital mutilation type procedures. And you feel alone. And so having a group of people that we understand each other, we're like-minded in that, and we're together in those things is really important to help with the courage and confidence to take on those issues.
Yeah, as Brian said, I mean, we've got here really the beginnings of what that really means. You got a CRNA, you got a nurse, and you got a general surgeon.
Like
and if, yeah, and if you're working together, you can affect change. Without working together, if we're all little islands, you can't affect any change. And it's easy to pick us off.
Yes.
As individuals.
Yeah.
It's a lot harder if we're standing together as a group.
As I look at society in general, I look at the disunity and the fragmentation. All of that has filtered down into the medical world, whether you're a nurse, a physician, an occupational therapist, a pharmacist. And to make an impact in the field of medicine, I think we need unity to pull together and work together to provide a stable influence for those that are drifting badly in our profession.
I would say as we're here talking about at the Colson Center Conference, really talking about the importance of the church. And we as a church need to stand together and really hit at what's most important in society, in our world. That is renewing the kingdom of God. And if we're divided in our thoughts and in the way that we approach the world and those around us, we're not in unity as believers in Christ and as physicians and healthcare professionals, then we're kicking ourselves in the rear.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, Tim Keller probably said it best when he said that, you know, diversity is actually one of the greatest strengths of the church and should be treated as such, as opposed to potentially being a disadvantage for the church. You know, in fact, in a rare nod to medical folks, he actually referred once to diversity in the church like an EKG. You know, you have 12 leads in an EKG. Each one tells a different story about the heart. But when you stick them all together, you have a complete picture of what the heart looks like. And so I think that's a pretty appropriate way to look at how, specifically in healthcare, you know, we work together as a team, you know, regardless of our denomination and our background, to be able to bring Christ into our patients and our community's lives.
Well, I think we're on the kind of a crisis when it comes to addressing some of the main issues of gender and end-of-life decisions. And sometimes when you're a believer, you're against a big wave of what we're seeing, and you feel alone at that time, at that point. Have courage. Sometimes it helps tremendously to have people by your side that are also believers and who also have the courage and can navigate that.
I think that, yeah, having a body of believers that are unified in what we believe and the gospel message, the Bible has all the answers for us. And if we can all come together and just support that vision or that just what God has set out for us, that we can be really influence culture and influence the medical world. And we just have to have a solid foundation.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. We just need to have unity in purpose, unity in direction, unity in how we're speaking. We need to speak with one voice. The cultural pressures are so strong, and we are fighting so many ideas that do not lead to human flourishing, that don't lead to families flourishing. And I think it's important that we come together and we speak and we inform people about the dangers of abortion, the dangers of gender ideology, and in the pro-life movement especially, really showing people that we can step up and help those vulnerable moms and families that are in crisis pregnancy, that there is another way. Abortion is not the answer. And people need to understand also the harms of abortion, harms of chemical abortion. So it's just important that we speak in a unified voice and really tell the story from God's perspective.
Well, I think everybody knows healthcare. There's so many issues, policy issues in medicine right now, that we need to have a voice that claims that we have been created by our Heavenly Father, and it has an effect on everything in medicine. And we're not seeing that right now. And so I think it's very strongly that we have a voice.
Before we continue with this week's episode, here's a special announcement for you. As a result of a partnership between CMDA and Alliance Defending Freedom, we are now offering free legal consultations for CMDA members who may be experiencing conscience freedom issues in the workplace. Exclusively available to CMDA members, this program is designed to serve members who feel they are being discriminated against in the workplace due to their firmly held moral and religious beliefs. If you feel your conscience freedoms are at risk, please visit cmda.org/legal to learn more about how we can help. CMDA's Center for Well-Being helps Christian healthcare professionals align with God, optimize well-being, and maximize influence. If you find yourself feeling burned out and overwhelmed by your daily demands, please reach out to our team in the Center for Well-Being. After all, you pour yourself out for others every day, and this is a place to be refilled. Plus, we've been expanding our services in the center to help meet the great needs CMDA members have. You can sign up for certified coaching training courses that prepare you with the skills for coaching those in your sphere of influence, and our team can even help you walk through the difficult challenge of facing a malpractice lawsuit. Plus, we offer marriage enrichment weekends and retreats for our members to refresh and restore their marriages. Our team members have been where you are, and we want to help you through the challenges you face. Visit cmda.org/wellbeing to learn more.
The second half of our program today continues with us asking a second question to these Coulson Fellows. What current issue dealing with advocacy for the vulnerable in the healthcare public square are you most passionate about?
I like to think with being a midwife, it starts from the very beginning, advocating for the unborn, and then just the general health of women throughout the lifespan.
I think they're image bearers of God. And I think once we get that foundationally correct, I think we can advocate for the basic needs. When we meet their food insecurity needs, when we meet their what it means to be clothed and seen, and who God sees them as, I think that we can advocate for the services and the right to be provided for and to share the gospel with them, because ultimately that is going to be foundational to their receiving the hope that they need to prosper and flourish in the way God intended them to.
Well, considering the fact that I work for a pro-life women's clinic, I would say abortion in the beginning of life and even the assisted reproduction and all the testing that can go on, even in a normal pregnancy.
I think what's been kind of bubbling up a bit has been the gender-affirming care issue that you see, and you know, having a granddaughter in school and so on, you get concerned about the training and what's happening below the surface that even their families and their parents don't know what's going on.
I would say geriatrics. That's a big reason why I work with geriatrics is I definitely see it as a vulnerable population. Definitely with rehab, it's the forgotten population of, oh, what can you do really for geriatrics? How much can we actually rehab somebody who's 90 years old? I mean, I worked with someone who's 103 the other day, and they're improving and they're doing really well and they're getting their life back. And I think we need to remember that these are people who still can benefit from medicine.
Gender dysphoria is probably top of the line for me. We see a lot of people come through the emergency department in significant emotional distress, and gender dysphoria is one of the primary causes right now.
Speak truth. Truth brings freedom and healing, and being able to articulate that clearly and minister with humility.
Humility is ministering in such a way that we reflect the Lord Jesus in humility and in authenticity.
I love it.
And helping our patients to know that they're loved, they're cared for.
Well, certainly the elderly from many different aspects. And I think that healthcare is not doing as good a job as I would like, but better than I could hope for probably. For me, what I see as a vulnerable group are students. Healthcare professional students. Of course, that's where I walk. In addition to being a geriatrician, I am on the faculty at the University of New England College of Osteopathic Medicine. I've done medical education from almost the beginning of my career. And the students are not ready for what is facing them in healthcare and as healthcare professionals. I feel they're very vulnerable because they're drinking the Kool-Aid and they're buying the lie. And I think we really need to help them to be strong in their beliefs and to avoid the pitfalls that we see in the culture today.
So I'm seeing anybody in the hospital, and the reason for that is when they're sick, if they continue to be sick, hospitals are really wanting you to not use their resources. And it's an incredibly big deal today that people who are sick in an ICU setting are being asked to remove their stuff so that they can die. And they say, you're not being dignified in doing this. And I have several patients right now in the hospital where that's happened to.
Couple things. One is the indigent.
Okay, the indigent.
So people who don't have insurance or don't get enough money, in other words. And we have a refuge clinic at Lexington where we volunteer our services to help people without insurance that come over. The other one are young ladies who haven't really, don't have they're not saved or whatever, but they want to do abortion. So the unborn.
You know, I think of women, particularly in Idaho, they've isolated Hispanic populations that are maternal, the maternal area. The morbidity mortality with some of those moms and babies is pretty high. Our church is doing some efforts to try and curb some of that. I do think of those who have suffering from gender dysphoria and the fact that they're trying to be treated with scalpels and not therapy. I think that your elderly population and the failure to honor dignity and respect at the end of life are other populations that are all in various ways coming underneath that potential threat that we can be looking out for. We can be helping and speaking into those areas to try and improve things.
I think with the corporate nature of medicine these days, and you hear about the scandals and everything in the healthcare organizations and the big medical groups, I think we need to keep the focus, and I stress this to my younger colleagues and mentees, we need to be patient focused. I think somehow patients have become lost in all of this, and we need to provide stability and care and compassion. We need to restore that again today.
You know, I think what we've kind of been realizing is that, you know, and this is going to sound a little strange, but in all the different types of poor and vulnerable populations that we've seen, the one linking strand to all of them is that they're all spiritually poor. And I think the spiritually poor are probably even the most vulnerable of our populations, and because it encompasses all of our populations, whether you're rich, whether you're socioeconomically rich, socioeconomically poor, you know, illegal, migrant, asylee, or anything else. I mean, the issue of spiritual poverty has no discriminatory boundaries whatsoever. So that's really what kind of drives me.
It sounds biblical to me.
It sounds like it. It drives me at night a lot. Yeah.
Well, I would say as a physical therapist and having worked with the disabled, doing more neuro rehab, Mitzi, our CMDA director in San Antonio, leads a group of people down to the border, down at Del Rio, and we work, they bring across the physically disabled. Dr. Curry started this program several years ago, collecting used wheelchairs that are no longer needed. People have outgrown their wheelchairs. Take a team of physical therapists, occupational therapists, physicians down to the border and fit them up with these used wheelchairs. And some of these people, I've seen 14-year-old disabled children being carried in by their parents, just a huge burden. And we're able to fit them up with headrest, side rest, wheelchairs. And these parents just go out rejoicing at the freedom that they now experience.
Well, as a mom, as a stay-at-home mom to four, I feel that children are very vulnerable, and what we're being told by culture and society is completely different than the biblical worldview message. And I think that healthcare providers, you know, who do people go to whenever they're in trouble or they're sick? They go to doctors, and they need to be unified, and they need to be advocates for these children who don't have a voice. So many things are influencing parents and kids, and I think that physicians play a special role in being able to speak truth to parents and kids.
As physicians, we are to do no harm, and I think with children, they are vulnerable. I work a lot with addiction medicine as well, and I think a lot of parents I run into have a lot of guilt, and they don't know how to navigate that. And as a physician, we're to be a part of that cornerstone that shows that, yes, there is a biblical and truth, timeless truth of how to guide our children. And there's a not a changing part of what we're created to be. And so we are the front runners. We're the, kind of the front lines of addressing that. And I think children are that. And parents, we run into all those sorts of things where in our culture, it's just an ebb and flow. It's a wave. And a lot of physicians are just kind of riding that wave. Where as Christian physicians, we have a biblical foundation and we have a starting place, and we need to be that advocate.
I became particularly interested during the time that I was doing my Colson Fellowship training. I became interested in the families and the kids that are affected by gender ideology, as we were having so many patients walking into our office that were just confused. And fortunately, because I'd gone through the fellows program, I knew a little bit about what was going on in that arena. So I jumped in. I joined Christian Medical and Dental Association. I joined American College of Pediatricians, which is a small group of pediatricians who are working to fight gender ideology. And currently at our church right now, we have started a group called Wonderfully Made, and this helps parents whose children are struggling with their identity, giving them resources, just being a support and encouragement to them, because they feel very afraid and very alone. I also meet with families individually to talk with their child about the dangers of puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, inform the parents about the dangers of social transition, which so many people think is harmless, but it's not. It is a psychological intervention that has implications. The most recent thing that I've done is I've joined the Resilience Health Network. We are a network countrywide of physicians and other medical professionals who aim to help detransitioners. As I think a lot of us in the medical field know, there are more and more children and young people who have transitioned that are now fighting the ravages of these medicines and these surgeries, what the toll has been that's been taken on their bodies. And we are forming a group of physicians who are willing to step in and care for those patients. They have specific important needs, and we're creating protocols. We're meeting every couple of weeks to discuss cases, and we would love to have other doctors from Christian Medical and Dental Association join us in that initiative.
I would say the most vulnerable, which is the unborn. So I feel very passionate about us saving those babies that people are wanting to kill. It's actually a continuation. I've been on the board of a pregnancy center, so I will continue that work. But it's solidified my complete understanding of why it's important that we are made in God's image. That's huge.
Well, I really appreciated the many healthcare professional Colson fellows who took the time to share their hearts and convictions with us during this special conversation. And to the Fellows Program, which keeps on equipping Christians to live and lead with clarity, compassion, and courage. Dr. Lance and I, we actually hosted a lunch during the Colson meeting, and it was standing room only, with over 100 healthcare professionals and their spouses in attendance. One clear theme emerged from all of these conversations, and it's that we're not meant to stand alone, friends. Whether you're a physician or a dentist, a nurse, a physical therapist, or serving in any corner of healthcare, the body of Christ, we must work together to shine the light of Christ in a culture that desperately needs truth and hope. We invite you to share this episode, to subscribe to CMDA Matters, and visit our show notes to learn more about the Colson Fellows Program and how CMDA is equipping healthcare professionals for such a time as this. Be sure to follow the podcast on social media to stay updated as well as be encouraged. If you'd like to connect with our incredible community of Christian healthcare professionals or learn more about CMDA's resources and opportunities, just visit us at cmda.org today. The CMDA Midwest Fall Conference is a long-standing favorite in our CMDA community, now celebrating its 35th year. This coming September 26th through the 28th at the beautiful Maranatha Retreat Center along the shores of Lake Michigan, there's going to be a gathering for Christians in healthcare in the Midwest that offers thoughtful teaching with meaningful fellowship, worship, and rest. It's a time to step away, friends, and be refreshed. Whether that's through incredible sessions with speakers like Dr. Farr Kerlin from Duke, Dr. Stephen Coe from New York City, and a special panel discussion featuring Dr. Carl Truman. Or maybe it will be through quiet moments on the beach, hikes through the woods, enjoying Maranatha's many activities, and spending time in God's Word. You'll be able to earn up to 6 CME credits, and there's a full children's program for kids 12 and under this year. So it'll be a great experience for individuals or for your entire family. To learn more and to register, just visit cmda.org/events. We would love for you to join us this fall. For the month of July, we're excited to feature for each weekly podcast an amazing lineup of plenary speakers from our recent national convention. If you attended and want to revisit these impactful messages, well, now's your chance. And if you missed NatCon, consider this your front row seat to hear a few of the compelling voices who inspired us at the beginning of May. We're kicking things off with Ambassador Sam Brownback, who delivers an inspiring call to Christian healthcare professionals, urging us to stand firm in our faith and lead the renewal of Western civilization, one patient, one act of courage at a time. I want to thank you for listening to CMDA Matters this week, where our mission remains the same, bringing the hope and the healing of Christ to the world through committed Christ followers in healthcare. That's what matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. May you recognize this week that the Lord is with you and that He is for you to do His good work. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time, Lord willing, on CMDA Matters.
Thanks for listening to CMDA Matters. If you would like to suggest a future guest or share a comment with us, please email cmdamatters@cmda.org. And if you like the podcast, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and share it on your favorite social media platform. This podcast has been a production of Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.